Today is the beginning, if you will, of Thanksgiving week. And on Thursday, many of you will be enjoying a meal with your family and with friends and doing stuff. And so we want to begin that today, Thanksgiving week. You know, the very first presidential proclamation about Thanksgiving was all the way back in 1789. George Washington said, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness." And it goes on from there. And every year since then, the President of the United States has given a proclamation. The one for this year has not come out. This is what was written last year. "This Thanksgiving, as homes across America fill with laughter, favorite family foods, and the joy of friends and relatives reuniting, we give thanks for everything that is good in our lives and reflect on the many blessings of our nation. This American spirit of gratitude dates back to our earliest days when the Pilgrims celebrated a successful first harvest thanks to the generosity and support of the Wampanoag people, the Indian tribe. It inspired George Washington to give his troops a day of prayer and thanks and fierce fighting for American independence. It also moved Abraham Lincoln to proclaim Thanksgiving a national holiday, honoring America's bounty and asking God to bring us together to care for one another and heal our nation." And so today, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, I want to call your attention to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 18. And I'm going to ask you, if you would please, to stand as we read through this scripture. "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of His holy word. Now, just as a little bit of forewarning, you will have a chance. We're going to read a little bit of scripture later on. You'll have a chance to stand then. You know, you need to get your exercise in now so you're ready for all that food later on. Now, you maybe you realize that this verse, it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but rather it says give thanks in all circumstances. See, no matter how terrible some things in our life may be, with God's help, there is always that for which we can be thankful. We can always find something to be thankful for. And yes, this is Thanksgiving week, and if you have school-age children and stuff like that, maybe they've come home with turkeys that have been made out of their palm prints, or, you know, they've got these pilgrims and these Indians, and we do all kinds of things, cornucopias and all kinds of things for Thanksgiving. Our president has issued these proclamations, and our very own government, a very secular government that almost chokes every time you have to say the word God and trying to somehow always separate God and government. They suddenly project this air of religiosity. They even encourage us to be thankful for at least this one day out of the year. You see, Thanksgiving, it's a little bit of an unusual holiday because it joins together God and government and society. It's generally considered acceptable for everyone, regardless of religion, to be thankful on Thanksgiving Day. And I don't know about you, but you know, when you start to think about it, that can be a little bit concerning, because when something becomes universally acceptable, it's usually because it has drastically changed, or maybe it's been watered down from its original intent. All you have to do is look at holidays like Easter or maybe even Christmas, and how they've changed over the years. And even if you read the proclamations from 1789 and the proclamations that are being put out now, Thanksgiving is even starting to change. And so I want to encourage each and every one of us this morning to take two safeguards to protect our Thanksgiving. Two things that we need to remember. The very first of those is to make sure that you are thankful to the right someone. And you don't really have a fill-in-the-blank handout, but I left a handout there for you, and there's blanks there because I want you to put your own Thanksgiving stuff in there. Make sure that you are thankful to the right somebody. If you are going to say thank you to somebody, make sure that it is the right somebody. Harriet Martineau, she was an atheist. And one morning, she and a friend, they stepped out into the glories of a beautiful morning. She saw the brilliant sun as it was peeking through the haze, the frost that was there on the meadow, and it's glistening. The brightly colored leaves as they're changing color and they're slowly drifting down to the ground. The blue sky, the white clouds, the white as it covers the mountains. And she was filled with this beauty. And she burst forth with, "I am just so grateful for it all." And her believing friend asked her, "Grateful to whom, my dear?" You see, that's a very good question for us at Thanksgiving time. If you are grateful, if you are really thankful, then the obvious question would be, grateful to whom? Well, King David, he knew the answer to that question about gratefulness. If anyone ever had a cause to lift their voice in thanksgiving to God, it was King David, a shepherd boy who became a hero of a nation, a hunted fugitive who became the king, a condemned sinner who became a man after God's own heart. Is it any wonder that David begins the 103rd Psalm with these words of thanksgiving? "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the name of the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And so I say to you again, when you decide to be thankful, be sure that you are thankful, just like King David, to the right somebody. Now, the second safeguard that I think we need to keep in mind as we work our way through today and maybe even through the rest of this week is that we need to make sure that we are thanking God for the right reason. If you were to draw up a list, you know, write down a list of the things that you are thankful for, what would you put on your list? What are some of the things that you would say that you are thankful for? Now, I have a microphone set up downstairs, and maybe while we're having the meal, some of you can get up and share a little bit of what you're thankful for. But for right now, let me give you some of the stuff that I would put on a list. One of the things I am thankful for is being able to live in the United States. Now, I've lived in Japan, and I visited several other countries, and I am thankful that I get to live in the United States. We are a blessed people. God's blessing is on us. We have freedoms. We get the freedom to worship as we want. In some places, it's not like that. So I'm thankful I get to live in the United States. Another thing is, despite all the aches and pains and the soreness that goes on, I am thankful for physical blessings as well. This past week, I was working out of town. I was in Sun River doing work there. And just being able to get up in the morning and to be able to work the whole day and stuff, it's a blessing. And I'm thankful for that. Someone once said, "Count your fingers and your toes, and if your mind is sharp enough to do that, then give God thanks for your mind too. Thank him that you can see and that you have the ability to move from one place to another." And so I thank God for the physical strength that he gives me each and every day. And again, I thank him for supplying me with everything that I need. Everything that I really need. And I shared a testimony with you a few weeks ago about how Lisa and I and traveling around in ministry and how God has always been there for us. Now I can tell you, I don't have everything that I want, but I do have everything that I need. There are a couple things that I really, really want, but I don't necessarily need them. But God, He always supplies for our needs. And I realize that that list, it can go on and on and on, and we can keep sharing all kinds of stuff. But I want us to take a look at the things that King David put on his list. And so I'm going to ask if you would please to stand for the second time as we read through our scripture. It's Psalms 103, verses 1 through verse 5. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And at verse 3, he begins with his list. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Thank you. You may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word. Now that is King David's list. And his list begins at verse 3 with this. God, being thankful to God who forgives all your sins. You see, King David, he knew that that was important. He didn't begin by thanking God for making him the king. He didn't begin by thanking God because Israel had become one of the strongest nations back in that time. He begins by thanking God for forgiving our sins. And I'd like to suggest that that could probably right there be the most precious gift that any of us could ever receive. God has provided a way for our sins to be forgiven. He has provided a way for us to get back into heaven, to get back into relationship with Him. And then he continues, and he says that God heals all your diseases. Now, David, I'm sure he didn't know anything about germs or infections or infectious diseases or any of that. All he knew was that when the people of Israel obeyed God's laws, His rules, His regulations, they didn't have the plagues that laid waste to the nations around them. And when troubles arose and when they would call upon God for help, God was always there to help them. He was always with them. Now, we may not be able to understand everything that happens to us, but I'm convinced that God, He is still the great physician. He knows my deepest needs in my life even better than I do. And I believe that just as He rose people from the dead, as Jesus was able to raise people from the dead when He's here, and He was able to heal blind people and deaf people, God could do that then. He is still able to do it now. Sometimes He chooses not to, and I don't understand it all, and we may never understand it all. But whether my need is physical or psychological or spiritual, I am sure that God, He is always looking out for the very best for me. And so I'm thankful for that. Next, David goes on his list. And the third thing he says is that God redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Now, God certainly did that for David, didn't He? And God is still doing that same thing today. And then he says, fourth, that God satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And almost everybody seems to be searching somehow for the fountain of youth. Everybody, you know, you go out there and people are trying to find ways to make themselves look younger, to be younger. They're going this way, Lisa. Okay, I got to stop and interrupt you. I'm sorry. Teo is on his way in right now. Am I smiling more? God, He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like that of the eagles. And again, everybody's looking for this fountain of youth. Everyone's trying to find ways to look younger, to feel younger, you know, to have cosmetic surgery and plastic surgery done so we can somehow fight the aging process. But I'm a realist. And when I stand in front of the mirror and I look at myself and, you know, I have a little bit less hair here and it's more grain and the parts of my body start to look really crooked and weird and stuff like that, I know that I'm getting older. And I know that. Maybe Paul explained it best when he said, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." And so as we look at King David's list, his Thanksgiving list, it's easy for us to say, man, that's a great list. He's got a great start there. And we could add all kinds of things to that. Be thankful to God for all the joys and blessings that he showers upon us. So we need to be thankful to the right somebody and thank God for the right reasons. But we also need to realize that even though bad things happen in our lives, bad things take place, we can still praise God. But not everybody shares in that joy of Thanksgiving. And each week, and we'll get a chance in just a few moments, each week, our congregation, we spend time lifting up prayer requests and we pray for other people, the struggles that they're going through, people who are anticipating surgeries and operations, that some have terminal illnesses, some are struggling with family situations or financial problems. In fact, if the whole truth were known, as the song said before the message started, everybody here is probably suffering in one way or another. And if you're not today, then maybe you will be tomorrow or next week. We all have struggles in our lives. Maybe Job said it the best when he said, "Man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward." And yet, even though bad things happen to God's people, we can still give praise and thanksgiving to God. And why can we do that? Because the great difference between God's people and the rest of the people, the rest of the world, is that God's people don't have to suffer alone. See, we never have to suffer alone because God is always there with us. In Psalm 23, David wrote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We're not alone in our struggles. We're not the only one who struggles, but we don't have to do it alone. We don't face this world alone. The great difference is that when we hurt, when we're struggling, God is there with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. In Exodus, Moses is, and God are talking, and God says to Moses, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them cry out because of their slave drivers, and I am convinced about their suffering. I am concerned about their suffering. And so I have come down to rescue them." God is saying, "I hear every cry. I hear every word that you say, everything that comes from your lips, every prayer from the depths of your heart. I hear it all. And I'm concerned about you." That's another very good reason to be thankful, isn't it? That God is always there with us. "I lift my heart to thee, O God, in gratitude and praise, for all thy blessings of the past and those of future days. I thank thee for my faithful friends, for sunshine and the rain, and every blessing hidden or seen, though some may come with pain. O God, accept my thanks to thee each time I come to pray, and grant that each day I live will be Thanksgiving Day." And so we celebrate Thanksgiving. And if there is someone here today, if you're here today, and you don't have Christ in your life, if you've never accepted him, you could do that. You don't ever have to face struggles or problems alone. God will always be there with you. Give you an opportunity to say, "Thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sin.